Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, eighth chapter, text number 26. And today we are going to discuss about fearlessness, attaining it by Achyuta Kata. Achyuta means the infallible Lord, Kata means stories, and it's like nectar, Sudam. So Maharaj Parikshit was waiting for this death, but he wasn't afraid. He took it as a chance to drink the nectarian messages from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. So to get an opportunity to hear about Krishna from a self-realized soul is very rare. I mean, everyone takes so many births, and we've taken so many births, and in every one of them we get a father and a mother, but it's very rare to get Guru and Krishna. So we should have a great opportunity. So today's verse... Name swaha parayanti Brahmananasanarami Prabhato chutta piyusam Tadvakya abdivini shritam Name swaha parayanti Brahmananasarami Pibato chutta piyusam Tadvakya abdivini shritam Name swaha parayanti Brahmananasanarami Pibato chutta piyusam Tadvakya abdivini shritam Name swa parayanti Brahmadana sanadami Pabochitta piyusam Tadvakti abdi vinishritam Name Saya Parayanti Pramadana Sanadami Pibato Chutta Piyusam Vakya Bini Vaishnavis Name Saya Parayanti Pramadana Sanadami Pibato chutta piyusam Tadvakya abdi vinishritam Name swaya parayanti Brahmanana sanadami Pibato chutta piyusam Tadvakya abdi vinishritam Name swaya parayanti Pibato chutta piyusam Tadvakya abdipushitam. Na. Never. Me. Mine. Asavaha. Life. Parayanti. Become exhausted. Brahman. O learned Brahmana. Anasanat. Ami. Because of fasting. Pibata. Because of my drinking. Achyuta. Of the infallible. Piyusam. Nectar. Tat. Your. Vakya abdi. Ocean of speech. Vinishritam. Flowing down from. Translation of purport by Srila Prabhupada. O learned Brahmana, because of my drinking the nectar of the message of the infallible personality of Godhead, which is flowing down from the ocean of your speeches, I do not feel any sort of exhaustion due to my fasting. Would you like to repeat? O learned Brahmana, because of my drinking the nectar of the messages of the infallible personality of Godhead, which is flowing down from the ocean of your speeches, I do not feel any sort of exhaustion due to my fasting. Purport. That's readable. The disciplic succession from Brahma, Narada, Vyas, and Sukadeva Goswami is particularly different from others. The disciplic successions from other sages are simply a waste of time, being devoid of achyuta katha, or the messages of the infallible Lord. The mental speculators can present their theories very nicely by reason and arguments, but such reasons and arguments are not infallible, for they are defeated by better mental speculators. Maharaj Pariksit was not interested in the dry speculation of the flickering mind. But he was interested in the topics of the Lord because factually he felt that by hearing such a nectarian message from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami, he was not feeling any exhaustion, even though he was fasting because of his imminent death. One can indulge in hearing the mental speculators, but such hearing cannot endure for any length of time. One will be exhausted very soon from hearing such hackneyed ways of thinking. And no one in the world can be satisfied simply by hearing such useless speculations. The message of the Lord, especially from a personality like Sukadeva Goswami, can never be tiring, even though one may be exhausted from other causes. In some editions of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the text of the last line of this verse reads, Anyatra kupitad dvijat, which means that the king might be overwhelmed by the thought of his imminent death by snake bite. The snake is also twice born, and its anger is compared to the cursing Brahmana boy who is without good intelligence. Maharaj Pariksit was not at all afraid of death, for he was fully encouraged by the message of the Lord. One who is fully absorbed in achyuta katha can never be afraid of anything in this world. Om Ajnanata Manandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa tubhyascha kripasindubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. O learned Brahmana, because of my drinking the nectar of the message of the infallible personality guided, which is flowing down from the ocean of your speeches, I do not feel any sort of exhaustion due to my fasting. So here's a mental speculator for you. Guess who that is? Close, yeah, Socrates. So Prabhupada says that, you know, there's speculators who can present their theories very nicely by reason and argument, but such reason and arguments are not infallible. They can be defeated by other people. So his philosophy was that we should achieve practical results for the greater well-being of society. I mean, he had some nice things to say. And he attempted to establish an ethical system based on human reason rather than logical doctrine. But here's something interesting about him. He pointed out that human choice was motivated by the desire for happiness. And ultimate wisdom comes from knowing oneself. So he thought the more a person knows, you know, the greater his ability to reason and make choices that will bring him happiness. So he believed that this should be translated into politics, with the best form of government being neither tyranny nor democracy. Instead, he said, government worked best when ruled by individuals who had the greatest ability, knowledge, and virtue, and possessed a complete understanding of themselves. So because Socrates wasn't afraid of death, he was considered to be self-realized, even Prabhupada said. But self-realization is incomplete without knowledge of Krishna. So this is what he didn't have, knowledge of Krishna, even though he had so many theories and philosophy. And Prabhupada mentions in the On the Way to Krishna book, he quotes this verse from the Bhagavad Gita that of all people that surrender to Krishna, he said, the wise who's in full knowledge in union with me is the best. You see, because he's engaged in devotional service, he's very dear to Krishna. So the ones who approach God, they're philosophically trying to understand Krishna, they're actually best qualified. And they're very dear to Krishna. And others are considered to be inferior. So here's where Prabhupada quotes Socrates in this actual book here. He says, Socrates, for instance, who believed in the immortality of the soul, was condemned to death. And upon being asked how he would like to be buried, replied, first of all, you may have to catch me. So one who knows is not the body, he's not disturbed by, you know, difficult situations like that, whether he's going to be tortured, killed, or buried, whatever. So this is a very nice section on the way to Krishna. So we have to be conversant with the science of Krishna. That way we know perfectly well we're not the body and that we're part and parcel of Krishna. So some or another, we're put into this body and we have to become free from the aloof of the three modes of material nature. So it's important that we become wise, become jnanis, and that we become dear to Krishna. And that way we'll never forget him. So in the memories, Siddhanta actually remembers, Siddhanta Prabhu remembers sitting in a lecture with Srila Prabhupada. And after the lecture, someone very challengedly asked Srila Prabhupada. He said, what do you feel when you chant? He's like, what do you feel when you chant? He's referring to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada just immediately answered, I feel no fear. So this is, you know, someone who's self-realized soul who's also a devotee of Krishna. They have no fear because they're completely in touch with Krishna. So we can hear these stories about devotees of Krishna like we're hearing stories from the Bhagavatam now. So we should keep them and relish them, and then that way we have no fear. So it's very wonderful. This is the preaching that's going on to the Krishna consciousness movement. And then Satsarupa Maharaj, in the memories, he remembers one devotee was telling him that she had a relationship with Prabhupada that was going on. She had like a dream or a revelation that Prabhupada was going to save every one of us at the time of death and that we have nothing to fear. So he was saying, maybe that's true. But he just said, we have to remember Prabhupada and love him back, as he said to me. Like he, one time Prabhupada said to Satrup Maharaj, he says, I will love you if you will love me. So, and Prabhupada meant that for every one of us. It's not just that because you're initiated by Prabhupada, he's going to love you, but actually his disciples, his, you know, grand disciples, so many disciples, we're all linked with him. And from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote in the Bhagavatam that he lives forever by his divine instructions and the follower lives with him. So we just have to follow like that. So from his very birth, Maharaj Pariksit was a great devotee of Krishna. And we see Krishna protected him in the womb when the last member of his dynasty was going to be destroyed. So Krishna wanted him to be king, so he protected him. And we see even from childhood, he was very devotional and he loved Krishna very much. He even loved to play games of Krishna Leela, more than just playing regular games or playing with regular toys. He would like to worship the deity. And he was always anxious to hear about Krishna. So he would rather do this imitation Krishna Leela and things like that, you know, rather than playing mundane things or even to eat. He would be more interested in those things. So he was always anxious to hear about Krishna. So this is Maharaj Pariksit. And as a king, he was very powerful. And he was even able to kill the personality Kali, who was destroying religious principles. Here we see in the form of breaking the legs of the cow or the bull, which, you know, is religion personified. So he's a very powerful personality. But yet, out of his mercy, he let him live because it was his time. But as we see here, as fate will have it, or Krishna's plan for Maharaj Pariksit, he did something out of character. You know, he was very thirsty at the time, and he was asking for water, and the sage was in samadhi, and he didn't hear him or know he was there, so he took insult and put a snake around his neck. So, you see, sometimes maybe in the course of our service, we don't have much chance to hear about Krishna. You know, we may think we're too busy. Even though, of course, serving Krishna, we're in touch with Krishna, and it should help remind us of Krishna, but still, Prabhupada recommended that we must regularly hear about him. Like Prabhupada says, are you distributing my books? And everybody says, yes, yes. But are you reading my books? Which is very important. We have to regularly read. So the result was he was cursed by this Brahmana boy, Sringi, who is without good intelligence, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport. And he was cursed to die in 7 days by the bite from a snake bird, as we saw in the beginning image. So, being sorry, Sringi cried before his father, and, you know, he was told that he did wrong. You know, the king is a representative of the personality of Godhead. You shouldn't curse him for some, you know, insignificant thing like that. So he should, you know, take mercy and shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Take the shelter of his mercy. So, Maharaj Pariksit took it as the mercy of the Lord to just singly hear and chant, you know, hear the nectarian messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from Sukadeva Goswami. Even though he was already a great devotee of Krishna, and he was an ecstatic lover of Krishna, he took the opportunity to hear about him. He didn't think, oh, I'm a devotee of Krishna from birth. I don't need to hear about Krishna. I already know Krishna. He wasn't like that attitude. But this hearing, we have to constantly hear because it puts everything in the proper perspective. These are actually messages of reality. All other messages are completely illusion, phantasmagoria. So in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami describes the characteristics of a person who has actually developed his ecstatic love for Krishna. And there's 9 characteristics. And we'll go through those, which are very nice. And one of these, you know how they say different qualities and a different devotee represents the qualities, you know, of that thing. So one of these represents Maharaj Pariksit. and see if you could guess which one it is. So we'll go through each one of these. So the first one, he's always anxious to utilize his time in the devotional service of the Lord. He does not like to be idle. He wants service always, 24 hours a day without deviation. And the second one, he's always reserved and perseverant. Third, he is always detached from all material attraction. Fourth, he does not long for any material respect in return for his activities. Fifth, he is always certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him. Sixth, he is always very eager to serve the Lord faithfully. Seventh, he is very much attached to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Eighth, he is always eager to describe the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And ninth, he is very pleased to live in a place where the Lord's pastimes are performed, like Mathura, Vrindavan, or Dwarka. So New Dwarka. So these are the nine characteristics of one in ecstatic love. So as we mentioned, Maharaj Parikshit was in ecstatic love. He was always eager to hear about Krishna. So which one do you think best describes him or was used? Somebody knows. Yes. No, that's close though. A lot of these can actually be towards him. Yes, Prabhu. Five, that's a good one. But no, that's not the one that was in the Nectar Devotion. Kind of relates to the verse today that he was fearless. So actually it's number two, his perseverance. And Prabhupada writes there, and I guess it's Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Instruction says, when a person is undisturbed, even in the presence of various causes of disturbance, he is called reserved and perseverant. An example of this perseverance and reservation is found in the behavior of King Parikshit, as described in the first canto, 19 chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam. The king says there to all the sages present before him at the time of his death, my dear brahmanas, you should always accept me as your surrendered servant. I have come to the bank of the Ganges just to devote my heart and soul unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So please bless me that Mother Ganges may also be pleased with me. Let the curse of the brahmana's son fall upon me. I do not mind. I only request that at the last moment of my life, all of you kindly chant the holy name of Vishnu so that I may realize his transcendental qualities. So that verse that's being quoted there from the Nectar of Devotion, 1:19:15, is a nice verse. And I'd just like to go there and read that to you also. It's kind of said in a little different way. O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing deeds of Lord Vishnu. So see, as soon as one gives up completely unto the lotus feet of the Lord, he's not afraid of death. So this is the atmosphere created by the great sages on the Ganges there. And speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, where he completely accepted the lotus feet of Krishna. And that was enough. It was sufficient enough to guarantee that he would go back home, back to Gaudiya, and be free from death. So who was Maharaj Parikshit's grandfather? Arjuna. So Maharaj Parikshit came in such a great family. And, you know, his grandfather was like an intimate friend of Krishna. This is where he came in this line. And Krishna guided Arjuna, protected Arjuna. And we see in the battle of Kurukshetra and all the other Pandavas. And for the benefit of all living entities, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And so similarly, like today, we're being enlightened through the narration of Sukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very similar. And throughout the Bhagavatam, even within the Bhagavatam, we're getting enlightened. And here we see the teachings of Lord Kapiladeva to his mother, Devahuti. And there's a few verses here I'd like to read, which relates to our class today. And this is in the third canto, as shown there, 32nd chapter. These are verses 16 to 22. So we'll go through those. Now, if you can see them there very much, kind of small, there's a lot. So I'll read it though. Persons who are too addicted to this material world execute their prescribed duties very nicely and with great faith. They daily perform all such prescribed duties with attachment to the fruitive results. So these are six verses which the Bhagavatam is criticizing persons who are materially attached. And this is what... So this one's referring to those who worship demigods. They have that consciousness that each and every demigod is like a god. And if we worship them, we'll be elevated and uplifted in our material condition. So the second verse here. Such persons impelled by the mode of passion are full of anxieties and always aspire for sense gratification. Due to uncontrolled senses, they worship the forefathers and are busy day and night improving the economic condition of their family, social, or national life. And then the 18th verse. Such persons are called Trivargika, because they are interested in the three elevating processes. They are averse to the Supreme Personality Godhead, who can give relief to the conditioned soul. They are not interested in the Supreme Personality's pastimes, which are worth hearing because of his transcendental prowess. So just say they're taking shelter of other things besides Krishna. So this elevating process, as mentioned here, is called Trivargika, which means tri means three, and Vargika means elevating processes. So these materialistic persons are never attracted to Krishna. Rather, actually, they're antagonistic towards him by doing this. So Srila Prabhupada says there in that particular purport, that materialistic persons are never interested in hearing about marvelous pastimes of the Lord. They think that they are fictitious stories and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also a man of material nature. So this way they're not fit to advance the Krishna consciousness. Well, but what are they interested in? So many materialistic newspapers and novels and movies, imaginary things. And this is what they're all interested in, but not Krishna's activities. So this way they're just not interested in the transcendental activities. So let's go to the next verse. Now this one really criticizes them. Here it says, such persons are condemned by the supreme order of the Lord because they are averse to the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are compared to stool-eating hogs. They give up hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord and indulge in hearing of the abominable activities of materialistic persons. That's heavy, huh? So we see everyone in the mature world is addicted to hearing about the activities of somebody else, whether they're a politician, you know, a famous movie star, or, you know, even some imaginary character that they make up. So these are all created in their novels and their movies. So many nonsensical things that are created by these speculative people. But they're not interested in reading these genuine books like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, you know, all these scriptures of the world. They're very, very, you know, auspicious. So this is what's happening. They're actually, what they're interested in is actually hellish. So the verse 20, such materialistic persons are allowed to go to the planet called Pitri Loka by the southern course of the sun, but they again come back to this planet and take birth in their own families, beginning again the same fruitive activities and birth to the end of life. So this is what happens. They go up and down. They get higher elevated, then they come back down again. So these are all the different prescribed rituals that they're interested in, and they're very much attached to these. So text 21. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they fall down by higher arrangement and again come back to this planet, just as any person raised to a high position sometimes all of a sudden falls down. So this is a difference between the devotees, what they do, and what these materialistic people do, is that once they're elevated, they never fall down. Whereas the ordinary persons, they come back again and again. So this is Krishna's guarantee. And then the last verse here. My dear mother, I therefore advise that you take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for his lotus feet are worth worshipping. Accept this with all devotion and love, for thus you can be situated in transcendental devotional service. So just see, we take shelter of Krishna by hearing about his pastimes, and then this is devotional service, and we become more and more eligible to engage in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, which is the highest perfection of life for a human being. So here, it's recommended by Lord Kapila to his mother that this bhakti is nirguna. It's free from these tinges of material nature. They may appear like material activities, but actually they're not. They're transcendental. So we have to take advantage of these. And Prabhupada mentions there in the purport, he says, there are two kinds of religious activities, one for material advancement and the other for spiritual advancement. By taking shelter in the lotus feet of Krishna, one is endowed with both kinds of prosperity, material and spiritual. So why then should one go to any demigod? See? What's the use? And again, we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatana Goswami. And this is in chapter 22. We're going to read some verses, like three verses there. But this instruction starts from chapter 20 in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very wonderful. And the process of devotional service is described in chapter 22. And this is what Lord Chaitanya is saying. A human being's activities should be centered only on devotional service to Lord Krishna. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. And all saintly people have firmly concluded this. So, and then there's another verse in this chapter. That was the fifth verse, and we'll go to the 86th verse. And he says, the spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in a society of devotees. And it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens and gradually one attains firm faith in that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. So that's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's quoted from the third canto. Again, from Lord Kapila's instructions to his mother. This was a verse that's quoted there. So they advance. And in the purport to that, Prabhupada says that the first point is that one must seek association of persons who are Krishna conscious, who engage in devotional service. Because without their association, you can't advance. Simply by theoretical knowledge or speculation by these philosophers, you can't make appropriate advancement. But you have to give this materialistic association up. Because without association with devotees, you'll never understand the Lord. These non-devotees, they can't appreciate the Srimad Bhagavatam or these other literatures. And Prabhupada mentions in that purport, he says, association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness of rendering service to the Lord, and then being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. So this same verse that's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and it's quoted in the Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Kapila Dev is again quoted in the Adi Lila, the same verse. So it's very nicely. So this is how it's just being brought to us that initially we have to hear from a devotee, a qualified spiritual master. And then we can actually develop our spontaneous love for Krishna. So the third verse that I mentioned from the Madhya 22 is 113. And this is a very powerful verse. We could chant together. Smartavya satatam vishnor vishmartavyo na jatachut sarva vidhi nisedya shur etaryor eva kinkada. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be servants of these two principles. So of all the regulated principles, there are so many in the Shastras. These are the, they all act as servants of these two. That is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. And it's possible if we chant the Hare Krishna mantra 24 hours a day. So of all the regulated principles, the spiritual master's order to chant 16 rounds is most essential. So the conclusion is that one must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna and refrain from doing things that make him forget Krishna. So these are the two basic principles of the background of Krishna consciousness. So that's it. This is how we get fearlessness by Achyuta Gata. So thank you for your kind attention. Any questions or comments? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
I really like the PowerPoint. Wonderful visual aids and nice going around the different books to bring forth the, make the case. Very nice, Prabhu. I was just thinking of that verse. I think it was verse number 19 from Lord Kapila's instruction, how materialists, they like the topics of that are devoid of talking about Krishna, and they're like stool-eating hogs. You know, I remember that, you know, a couple years ago when I used to watch Karmi television, and I noticed that, like, the subject matter of all the shows are just like backstabbing, you know, killing children.
Oh, geez, yeah.
All kinds of very dark, terrible things. And that's what gets on TV. Yeah, and it reminds me of that verse, you know, Tad Vyasa Tirtha, that's the line, that the pilgrimage of crows.
Yeah.
So crows are interested in the snot, the boogers, and the cast out things. So there's a crow in the heart of conditioned soul, and needs to be starved by feeding the swan side. So we need the Paramahamsa Samhitam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, to kind of starve that crow. But that's how society goes, is, you know, they just feed them the same garbage, that the same poisonous information that they want to hear, instead of, like, try to educate them, which is our service, to try and give them a higher taste. Anyway, I was just thinking about that. Thank you,
Hare
Krishna.
I like that better than that story they say, like, there's two wolves, you know, and which one wins is the one you feed. There's one hate and there's one good qualities. I like that crow and swan better. That's nice. Any other comments, questions, or realizations? Well, thank you very... Oh, yes, Prabhu. Sorry.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, you brought up the point of the nine qualities of pure devotion of a devotee who's on the platform of Bhav Bhakti, ecstatic love. And I've always wondered if you can get them all up there.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's going there. Here we go.
We get to go through the whole visual effect. That's cool.
Yeah, it doesn't do
it. Okay, so anyways, by the time I finish my question, they'll all be there. So I've always wondered, some of these things, you know, it seems like one can practice, you know, make a conscious effort to practice, whereas some of them, you know, they seem like they're things that Krishna kind of gives to the devotee after a life of sacrifice and surrender, you know. Developing a deep attachment to the holy name isn't necessarily something that we get completely through our own endeavor. It comes after years of sacrifice and surrender. Of course, we can make an effort to hear the holy name, but things like, you know, being anxious to utilize one's time properly, things like this, it seems like they can be practiced. And I've always wondered, are these qualities that one can make an effort to consciously cultivate, or are these qualities self-manifested qualities in a devotee without an extraneous endeavor? He's just, through engaging in the process of devotional service, this is the natural byproduct.
Yeah.
Or is it something that one should simultaneously be consciously trying to cultivate as they're practicing devotional service.
Well, as Rupa Goswami was describing it, he said it's the characteristic of a person who has actually developed his ecstatic love for Krishna. So when you actually have love for Krishna, this is going to be the aroma of you, or the what's emanating from you, or your activities, how you show it, how you demonstrate it. Yeah. But yeah, you can, you know, we can practice these. I mean, we're supposed to imbibe these these messages and try to take them to heart and develop them and engage in devotional service. And gradually, yeah, we'll develop those. Yeah. So we have something to look forward to. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Nice points. Thank you for all your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.